Good morning, church family. Those of you who've read the newsletter, probably expecting somebody a little bit shorter than me and with a more southern accent to be standing here. Better looking. Obviously, Ian will be fulfilling some of those criteria later on. It's supposed to be Sandra leading the service today. She's not well and hasn't been well for a few days now. She's got a nasty cough. It's not COVID. She has tested repeatedly, tested about 5 times in the last week, negative every time. I said to her, why do you keep testing? She says, I can't believe I've not got it. I said, you've tested negative, you're not going anywhere. You haven't been anywhere. Stop testing. You're just wasting the testing kits. Don't shout at me. I'm not well. So you're stuck with me, I'm afraid. We had a 5-minute handover yesterday afternoon. So I think I know what I'm doing. Let me just start by reading out these few notices here. We're welcoming you, warmly welcoming you in the name of Jesus to this service. There's a few COVID points. You don't have to wear a mask anymore, but please respect those who want to keep wearing them. There will be no collection. The boxes are available by the entrance. This notice is well out of date. We're not permitted to, we are permitted to use the kitchen, but we're not using it at the moment. See more at the church meeting. And you can stand up to sing, but please be aware that you don't block the people who's behind you so that they can't see. And I'm going to hand over to, where are you? Lynn's got a notice for us.
Morning, everyone. Lovely to see you. Just like to say that at 6:30 this evening at St Mary's Sandbach, there will be a special service of Evensong to celebrate the Queen's Platinum Jubilee. So at 6:30 at St Mary's. And we're delighted that Brian and Jackie Chilvers, our BMS missionary workers at the Guinea-Bole Hospital 2 in Chad, are coming to join us at Oasis, our community centre on Green Street, at 6 p.m. on the 18th of June, so not very long at all. So please, will you put that invitation in your diaries, because we do want to support them. We want to learn a lot more about their work and their mission, and we want to know how we can support them in prayer. So there will be a cold buffet-style bring-and-share meal served towards the beginning of this evening, and so to prepare for that, there was something in the newsletter about it. In the foyer, you will find a sheet where you could please put your name if you're going to come. Please have a look at the suggested items that you might like to bring, both vegetarian and non-vegetarian, and enter on the sheet what you're going to bring, savoury and sweet. I'd be very grateful for that. So thank you very much. That's the 18th of June.
Susie wants to say something.
Is that right? If I just do a quick plug.
Number 7.
Jubilee celebration next Sunday. 2 till 5, cake and a cuppa, come along. There may be games, maybe not. Who knows? But please, everybody's very warmly welcomed. So do come along. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other notices? Oh, it's at Susie's. Susie and Stuart's. Both of them own it. Susie and Stuart's house. Both of you own it? Yes. Okay. Right. Let's begin in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come before you today. We know that there have been difficulties putting this service together, Father, but we know you can work past that, and we do offer this service to you in your name. We pray that this will be honouring to you in Sandbach and bring you glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Right. Sandra was going to read Psalm 121 at this point. Psalm 121. I lift up my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore. And we're going to sing our first song today. And this is, Lord, I come before your throne of grace. What a faithful God. Now, Sandra has prepared a little bit of a slideshow thingy type thing called Guess Who, Guess Where, and Guess Why. And we're going to look at some pictures, some photographs of people when they were younger. And you've got to try and guess who they are. The only clue I'm going to give you is that the music group are not allowed to take part in this. So, first guess who? What do you mean? There we go. Can you see that there? Who do you think that is? I'll give you a bit of a clue on this one. The certificate next to it says Ilford Maternity Hospital. Ilford's down south. And the name on there is Pulteney. Sandra, yes, that's Sandra when she was a kid. Her family name is Poultney. Next one, please. I didn't get any of these. And I've written the answers down here. So who do you think that is on the left? Nope. Yes. That's right, isn't it? Yep, that's Steph. Well done. Who's that chirpy person on the right then? Oh dear. Did somebody say Graham then? It's Graham. Next one. Okay, who's that on the left? You saying that's Susie. Okay. It's not Susie. I thought it was Susie as well. It's George. The person on the right isn't actually in the music group, but is related to somebody in the music group. Used to be in the music group a while ago. Nope. His mum and dad are here today. Owen, who said Owen? If we had given sweets out, you'd have one. It's Owen Chamberlain. Next. Now, I think we're looking at this person. Is that right? Music group? Yes. Oh, well done. That's made it much easier. His mum's is here, and we just mentioned his name. I can't give you any more than that. It's Vera. That's you, isn't it, Vera? Yes. And on the right, we have... What? No. In the music group, kind of. Stuart. Yes. And I think these are the last two now. Yes, they are. Yes. On the left.
Operating a computer near you.
It's Joe. And so who must that be on the right? Jill? It's Susie. Yes. Well done. I don't know what the point of that was. I missed that. It's not in my notes. Sorry about that. Yes. God knows who we are. If we go back to Psalm 121, and also referring to what Ian's going to be talking about in Psalm, he wants to talk about Psalm 139. God knows who we are, even if we don't know who we are. If we go back to Psalm, so that was guess who. This is guess where. Can we have the next one, Joe? These are photographs that Sandra's taken on our various travels throughout the years. That's a place called Teg's Nose, and that's the lunch that we had, a very unhealthy looking lunch that we had while we were there. It's gorgeous, isn't it?
Yeah.
Views are stunning. Did you walk around much and find what I'm going to show next?
No.
Did you not? Oh, okay. If we have a look at the next slide. We did a bit of a walk around Teg's Nose one day, and I saw something down there, and I thought, what's that? That was interesting. So we went down the path, and it was that thing there, which says library on it, and it's a little box on a stick full of books, and there's a seat there, and you can take a book out and sit and have a read. You take a book away and put another book back. And there's a guest book as well, which is on the side there. And it says, I lift up my eyes to the mountains.
I've got the wrong glasses on.
I lift up my eyes to the quiet hills. And underneath that it says, it's lovely here, Dave and Sandra. I wrote in there. So that was a lovely little thing we found. Next slide, please. So God, this is guess where. You don't have to guess where that is. But basically what Sandra wanted to say here is that God is in everything that we do and everywhere we go and everything that happens. So God makes the small things, the bees here. Next slide, please. And he makes the big things. I would have put a whale there, really, not a lion, lioness. But yes, he makes the big things as well. He makes, next slide. He makes the seas, or in this case, rocks. I said, why are you putting rocks there? Why didn't you just take a picture of the sea? But no, she wanted that one. We'll honour that. He makes the seas. He makes, next slide, please. He makes night and day. That's the picture she took at Mau Cop. Next slide, please. He knows where we are. Now, these are pictures from our holidays. That's when we were in South Africa. and that's the southernmost cafe in South Africa. Next slide, please. This is the other end of the scale. This is in the north. This is in the Yukon and the Northwest Territories in the north of Canada. Next slide, please. This is the Northwest Territories. This is above the Yukon. This is right on the edge. This is above the Arctic Circle. This is a place called Inuvik. God knows all about that as well. Next one, please. This is back in South Africa. We went for a meal on a beach one evening, and these ladies prepared it. They're the equivalent of the Italian nonnas. While we were there, they sang a song. And the song they sang is one that Ian picked. He didn't pick it for them. He's picked it for today. And it's, "Oh, let the Son of God enfold you." And they sang that too as well. We were having a meeting. We'll be singing that later on. come for the next one, please. And this is the guess why. This pulls it all together. This was a photograph taken on our last abroad holiday in 2019, before it all went wrong. This is a place called Lake Levico, and we climbed up onto a hill, and there was a cross on the hill, and that holds everything together. Everything that God's done for us is in that cross. Okie doke. So, we're going to sing two songs now. Lord of All Creation, God of Wonders Beyond Our Galaxy, and God is Good, we sing about it. If you'd like to stand.
Of water, earth, and sky. we sing and shout it, God is good. We celebrate.
Seated. If we had a Sunday school, kids would be going out now. We don't have a Sunday school. So I'm going to do the reading for today. It's Psalm 139 and it's verses 1 to 12. This is a Psalm of David. And it's Sandra's favourite Psalm, apparently. Which Stu Warburton told me. I find that odd. Psalm 139. You have searched me, Lord, and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you, Lord, know it completely. You hem me in behind and before, and you lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me, your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me, and the light become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. May the Lord bless that public reading of his word. I'm going to pray now, prayers of intercession. And if you've looked at the notice sheet, you'll notice there's a lot of not very well people in our fellowship just at the moment. However, Anne Rivers, Vera spoke to Anne Rivers this morning, and I've got a message to read out from her. Anne Rivers has finally tested negative for COVID this morning. She wants to give glory to God for answered prayer and is very appreciative of all the prayers of the church family. So that's some good news. So let's pray. Father, at this time, we have, it seems, a lot of people not doing too well at the moment, and I'm going to bring them before you. Apologies if I miss some people out, but unlike God, I don't know everything. So we'd like to pray for Mike King. We'd like to pray for Karen Sutcliffe's father, Graham. We'd like to pray for Nanette as well. And we continue to pray for Kay and George Baylis's newborn great-granddaughter, Ella, and her parents, John and Holly. Pray for Harold. We also pray for Doug and Laurie, who are here today. Pray, as we prayed, Anne Rivers's recovering. We pray for Rob McKenna, And we pray for Janet Wright. We bring all these people before you and their suffering. Also pray for Susie Stewart and pray for, of course, Sandra. And we bring these people before you and we pray for your healing upon them. Pray for your care. Pray for your arms around them at these difficult times. And pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Also, sorry, I should have included Louise Farry in that list there. Where are we up to? Ah, more songs. Short songs. So let's worship again. We've got three songs now. Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus, Abba Father, and Oh Let the Son of God Enfold You. Please stand.
Thank you.
Pray for Ian now as he comes to speak to us. So if you'd like to bow your heads. Heavenly Father, I do pray for Ian. He's been preparing this talk for a long time. I pray that the words he says will be your words, and I pray that they would go out into this congregation and bless us, and that they will help us to understand you better. Pray for him in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you very much, Dave. Thanks for standing in for Sandra. Please give her our love as she recovers from her cough. And thank you to the music group. That was beautiful. Thank you for leading us this morning. It's lovely to stand up here, actually, and see so many of you. Over the last couple of weeks, we've welcomed back a lot of people that haven't been with us for so long. And it's lovely that Audrey is... He's back with us. Lovely to see your smiling face this morning. So, Joe, first slide, please. That's okay. I called the message this morning, Hold On Tight, because I wanted to share my testimony with you this morning on how I became a Christian, and also share a bit about my life since then, and bring in a couple of characters from the Bible and the wonderful words from Psalm 139. So my story starts a long time ago, when I was a child. I grew up in North London and went to a church there, and it was okay. And then I got to about the age of 11, and I thought, I really don't want to do this anymore. But my parents said, no, you've got to keep going to church until you're 14. And then you can make your own mind up. So from 11, I wasn't particularly good. I wasn't at Sunday school. I remember being, sent out of the classroom and for misbehaving. And rather than waiting, I just walked home 2 miles. No safeguarding policies then, I'm afraid. Just went home. So I wasn't particularly good at church. And I just couldn't wait until my 14th birthday when I could make my decision and not go to church anymore. So eventually my 14th birthday came, and that was it. No more church. I did, however, still go to a youth club at the church. I had a couple of mates there, and it was kind of good to do some sports that I couldn't do at school. And as is the case of most 14-year-old boys, what motivates them to get up in the morning is the thought of meeting a 14-year-old girl. And there were plenty of them at the youth club, so I thought that was a good idea to carry on going. So I did that for a while. And then it was a Methodist circuit, and every year they did a youth weekend. And I had no intention of going to this weekend. But then the thought of being away from home for a weekend and carrying on my pursuit of 14-year-old girls, kind of thought I'll give it a go and go along. So my mates and I went on this weekend. The weekend came, and I have to say we were every youth leader's nightmare. We didn't go to any of the sessions that were planned. And on the Saturday night, when most of the group were singing and sharing and praying, we nipped out down to the village to try and see what trouble we could get into. So it wasn't going particularly well. The only condition of the weekend was that on the Sunday, we all had to attend a service. And I thought, well, for an hour, I can manage that. We didn't have mobile phones in those days, so I couldn't get distracted on the phone. But I thought I could still switch off and escape for a little while. So the service came, and there were lots of prayers and songs, so I was able to switch off. That was fine. And then suddenly the leader played a song. And it was a very unlikely kind of song, because at the time I was into heavy metal, Lynn, and that was my type of music. And this was a slow song, and it wasn't the kind of music I liked. But the words really kind of spoke to me and crashed into my life. So I'm going to ask Dave to play that song for you. It's by a Christian singer called Barry Maguire, which kind of, he goes way back into the 70s and 80s, a bit of a protest singer, and it's called Shauna's Song. Don't know who Shauna is, but for me it was very much Ian's song. Thanks, Dave.
I don't know why he loves me, I don't know. Why he'll wants me.
Thanks, Dave. So I've been on this weekend and I'd heard this song and I met with Jesus through this song. So did I commit my life to him there and then? Did I become a Christian and start going back to church? No. I had a Jonah moment. And what do I mean by that? If we turn to the book of Jonah and the first couple of verses, we read this. The word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai. Go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because its wickedness has not come up before me. But Jonah ran away from the Lord and headed for Tarshish. He went down to Joppa, where he found a ship bound for that port. After paying the fare, he went aboard and sailed for Tarshish to flee from the Lord. Go to the next slide, please, Joe. So, here we have Jonah about to go on the run. He's been commanded by God to go to Nineveh, which was the capital city of Assyria at that time and home to about 120,000 of Israelites' enemies. And Jonah thought, no, I don't fancy that. And so he decided not just to stay put, but to head... not to go to Nineveh, but head off in a completely different direction. So, Joe, if we can have the next slide, and I'll just see whether this works. So this is kind of the geography. So here, we don't know exactly where Jonah was when he received his commission, but we do know that he came from a place called Gathepha, which is near Nazareth. And there he was. He was sent by God up to Nineveh, which is probably about 500 or 600 miles east of where he was. That's where God wanted him to go. But instead, he headed south, 50 miles, to Joppa. And there he boarded a ship to Tarshish. Next slide, please, Joe. So just to give you a sense of where Tarshish was. Not sure exactly where it was, but most people think it was in Spain, which was the furthest point that the Israelites knew about at that point. So that's the distance that Jonah went to get away from God. Next slide, please, Joe. Right, this is where it gets good. So I do apologise for my handwritten drawing here. You can tell that when God gave gifts of art, he kind of passed over me. This is my hand-drawn picture of kind of where we are now. So if God told us to do something now, where would we go? So this is Great Britain. It's not an animal, it looks like here. And this is Sandbach, roughly here. And God is saying, I want you to go to the equivalent of Nineveh. So we're kind of heading east here, over some sea, to maybe Berlin. That's about 500 or 600 miles. That's where he wanted us to go. But what we do is we go in the opposite direction. We head west, so we go past Ireland, say hello to Iceland, Greenland, until we hit Canada, and to a very quaint place called Labrador City. I would say my drawing skills aren't that great. My family say that if it's not a boat or a ship, then you can never guess what I draw. Have any of you played Pictionary? You know, Pictionary, where you're given a card and you have to draw what's on the card and your team has to guess what it is. We should see the look of disappointment and despair on my family's face when they realise that they're on my team. So, but that's just an example of where the distance that we would need to go if we were running away from God, just like Jonah. Thank you, Joe. We better get rid of that one. Thank you. Thank you very much. So that's where I was. I'd met Jesus, but I was too afraid to give my life to him. I was more worried about what my friends would think, what I'd have to stop doing. So like Jonah, I went on the run. But this time, the difference was I knew who I was running from. So I spent the next 3 years or so running from Jesus, continued to mess up my life. I was probably drinking too much, and it was made worse when I started work at 16 and started to get money. And all throughout that time, I still felt Jesus knocking at my door, but I still had nothing to do with the church. But I would read. And I read a book by someone called Nicky Cruz called Run, Baby, Run. And if you never heard of Nicky Cruz, he was the leader of a vicious New York street gang back in the 70s. He was the leader of that gang at 17. He'd been arrested loads of times. A psychiatrist said that his fate was hopeless and that he was destined for prison, the electric chair, and hell. Then he met this preacher called David Wilkerson, you may have heard of through the Cross and the Switchblade, who introduced him to Jesus. Now, Nicky Cruz gave him a really hard time, but he eventually gave his life to Jesus. And I remember thinking, wow, if Jesus can change someone like him, then he can change me as well. And I remember, you know, one night just lying on my bed saying to Jesus, look, if you're really real, then I want you in my life. I want you to be Lord of my life, but I'm scared. I'm scared about what I'm going to do, what I'm going to say. I really need your help. And I also started trying to negotiate with him on my sins. And I said, well, what about this sin and this sin and this sin? And each time he just came back and said, yeah, I know, it's sorted, I know. So at that point, I gave my life to him. It wasn't a thunderbolt like it was with the song, but I just felt this tremendous peace in my heart. So how does my testimony kind of relate to what we read in Psalm 139? For me, Psalm 139 is really speaks about being fully known and fully loved by God. Just as Dave said earlier, God knows who we are. He knows who I am. He knows where I am. And I've learned that to be true throughout my faith journey. So God knows who I am. If we look at verse 1 again, O Lord, you have searched me and you know me. Isn't that wonderful? And in that context, search means to know intimately, to really, really know, not just our name, but really know everything about us. And this means that God makes a special effort to know everything about us, the tiniest detail in our lives. So that was a Jonah moment. I'm going to move quickly on to a Naaman slave girl moment. That's a bit of a mouthful. In house group during lockdown, we studied the story of Naaman. It's a brilliant story. If you want to kind of catch up with it sometime, it's in 2 Kings chapter 5. And just to give you a bit of background, Naaman was a Syrian. He was a Gentile. He was second in command to the king and commander of an army. He was filthy rich. He was highly respected. So he was a man of great social standing. He had everything to live for. But then he caught leprosy. So he was about to lose everything in his life, his job, his respectability. And he would have died a horrible death. And then I just want to read a couple of verses to you in terms of what happened at the beginning of his story. Now bands from Aram had gone out and had taken captive a young girl from Israel, and she served Naaman's wife. She said to her mistress, "If only my master would see the prophet who is in Samaria, he would cure him of his leprosy." And that prophet was Elisha. That's being referred there. So we had this slave girl from Israel. So she'd been kidnapped. She'd been separated from her friends and family. She was alone. She had no voice. But she ends up in the service of Naaman's wife. And it looks like they had a pretty good relationship because she was able to talk to her about what she felt was right. If only the master would go and see the prophet. She had that love and compassion for her master. And the rest of the chapter tells the story of what Naaman did. He did go to Israel. He was healed, although not in the way that he was expecting. But none of that would have happened if it had not been for this lowly, apparently insignificant servant girl who had the courage and love and compassion to be faithful to God and to do what God wanted. So she was in very difficult circumstances, being a slave, and yet she didn't let those circumstances define her. She never gave up on God, she remained faithful, and in that moment, God used her mightily to eventually bring about healing. And looking back on my life, I know that I found myself in some pretty difficult situations and scraps where I've been scared and not knowing what to do. And it's been in those times that I've found arrow prayers most useful. Jenny, you know, we've talked about this at house group. Just sending up an arrow prayer, just saying, "Lord, I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know what I'm saying. Just please give me the words. Give me the right thing to say in this situation." We've had a couple of prayer walks as a fellowship, and I find that a real blessing, just to be able to walk around town and look at people and just send up arrow prayers for them. Melanie and I went into McDonald's on one of these prayer walks. It's tough, someone's got to do it. But it was just a blessing to be able to sit there and look around and see either families, people on their own, couples, and just think, "Lord, I don't know anything about them, but you do. You know them by name. You know the tiniest detail in their lives. Just pray for them, lift them up into your care." So, it's those times when you just don't know what to say, what to pray. The Spirit takes over. My third moment is a Peter moment. So those of you that attended our church retreat may remember seeing this picture. So there are a set of paintings by an artist called Jenny Hawke that was commissioned by Churches Together in England about Easter, about the transformation of Easter. And one of these paintings was called Disloyalty. It's about Peter, the denial of Peter. And you can just about see down here, I hope you can see, the bottom left-hand side, you see this figure of Peter bending over, scrunched over, weeping in the darkness. Peter's kind of response to his denial. And this picture reminded me of the times in my life where I've denied Jesus, maybe because of what I've said, or because of what I've not said, or what I've done or not done. when my actions and words echo the words of Peter, I don't know the man. It happens. It does happen. And we find ourselves in these dark places where we feel ashamed because we've let Jesus down so badly. But of course, we know it's not the end. It's not the end for Peter, because the risen Jesus met with him again and gave him that wonderful opportunity three times to put the record straight. And Psalm 139 gives us some wonderful faith statements. Thanks, Junks Joe. So remember what we read this morning from Psalm 139. Verse 10, your hand will guide me. There is hope. And God is reaching out his hand to guide us all. Just like Jonah, just like me, when he was guiding me to a moment where I could give my life to him. And verse 10, your hand will hold me fast. God won't let go in times when we need him most. No matter how insignificant that we may feel at times, just like the slave girl in the story of Naaman, God knows us and he loves us and will hold on to us and lift us up to share in his kingdom work. And then verse 12, even the darkness will not be darkness to you. Nowhere is too dark to hide from the love of God. Despite the darkness that we feel sometimes, God knows you, God sees you, God loves you, and just like Peter, God is ready to shine a light on your darkness and bring you gently back into the light of his love. I wanted to just close by reading the words from a song. It's from the second edition of Songs of Fellowship. So that shows how kind of far back it goes, Susie. And I'm not sure we've ever sung it, Vera. You may remember it's called Lord, Don't Ever Let Me Go. Perhaps we can sing it sometime in the future. They're beautiful words, and in most communion services, these words come to me, even now, because for me, they just kind of sum up what Jesus has done for me. So here we go. Your love for me is a mystery, and I don't understand how you can keep on loving me exactly as I am. Though I may not understand you, one thing I know. You're all my heart desires. Lord, don't ever let me go. You're precious, always near to me. And I'm feeling sure that you will never, ever let me down. I know that I'm secure. Though I may not understand you, one thing I know. You're all my heart desires. Lord, don't ever let me go. In those times when I've let you down, you're never standing far away. All I have to do is turn my face to you to find where love and mercy lay. And your forgiveness floods my being, a river deep and wide. A stream of living water flows from deep inside. And I still don't understand you, but this I know. You'll always be my heart's desire. I can't ever let you go. Lord, don't ever let me go. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for your many promises in the Bible that you will never leave us, that you will always be with us, that you will guide us, you will hold us tight, and you come to us in our darkness, in times of difficulty, in times of rebellion, in times of denial, in times of faithfulness, in times of questioning, in times of certainty, in times of insecurity, and in times of confidence. Thank you, Lord, that wherever we go on our faith journey, you go ahead of us. And if we do stray, then you search us out and lead us back to where you want us to be. Your love for me is a mystery, and I don't understand how you keep on loving me exactly as I am. Though I may not understand you, one thing I know. You are all my heart's desires. Lord, don't ever let me go. Amen. Going to sing our final hymn now. On the order of service, it said, "And can it be?" question mark. So I thought that meant, I'm not sure if we're having it or not, until Dave pointed out, no, that's a question, "And can it be?" So it's a great Wesley hymn to close our service. "And can it be?"
Yeah.
Amen. Let's pray. And now may the Father's hand keep you from stumbling. May the footprints of Jesus give you confidence to follow. And may the fire of the Spirit keep you warm and safe in your walk with God this day and every day. Amen. Amen.